The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation.
The Foundation of Hearts Grants is brought to you by Alive, Bonneville Bones, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Da Vinci Printing Innovators, Ellsworth Johnson, Epic Battery, Grand Bahama News, Marco's Pizza, and Printmasters.
Foundation.
Don't you rock my boat, 'cause I don't want my boat to be rocking. Oh, please, don't you rock my boat. No, no, 'cause I don't want my boat to be rocking.
And gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation. Boom! It is a beautiful Friday afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, live and in full effect. Grateful to be in your company. It's a hell of a lot going on this weekend. Grateful to be here in the land of the living. I hope you are also. I don't want to rock no boats today. I just want to be as easy as possible. Maybe like a Sunday afternoon. But I know it's be busy sometimes on Sunday, so I don't even know which day we can identify. It's a beautiful day, guys. I'm so grateful to be in your company chopping this thing down. I am excited about some stuff. We're going to be able to talk about it throughout the course of this conversation. I got to shout out some people who's been dedicated to us and doing some stuff here. I got to shout out my good, decent people over at Coco Plum Bistro. Coco Plum Bistro, they are located in the Harbor Green Shopping Plaza. Harbor Green Shopping Plaza. That's out there as you're going towards Lyford Key. Just you take that right there. Tell Chantel that Howard sent you. They got some great stuff out there, guys. I might as well tell you the truth. Go out there when it's very cool, because you know sometimes it's been very humid. The food is delectable. I might as well tell you the truth. So go down there and check them out. Make sure you do that. AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers, they got everything laid out for you as it relates to insurance, right? So go and check them out if you're in the market for some insurance for your Estes, your Jitneys, your taxis. In preparation to get those things licensed and on the road, go check them out, right? 3411AFS, 3411AFS. They are number 407 Blue Hill Road South. Tell Ethric Bow that Howard Grant sent you down there. They can be able to take good care of you. And also, they're open on Saturdays. So, you know, don't dismay, right? Oh, I just get the car off the thing. I was trying to get it. Oh, Lord. I just get the car off you can get it insured on Saturday. So you can be able to take everything, right? They open up until 2 o'clock on Saturdays. Guys, it's a beautiful day. Grateful to be in your company. Our show over the next week is brought to you by Ellsworth Johnson for chairman of the Free National Movement. Dwayne Sands, re-elect Dwayne Sands as chairman of the Free National Movement. Michael Pintard And also, today we're going to be talking to you more specifically about the FNM Fair. We're going to be out there tomorrow evening, tomorrow midday, right? So we're going to be going live, Foundation Podcast. Let's do it. How it's going to be out there, live in full effect. It's exciting. I want you guys to be a part of it. Tomorrow, out there on R.M. Bailey Park, we're going to be with the Free National Movement, having interviews, going live on the Facebook channel. So it's going to be my Facebook page, the Foundation, and also it's going to be the FNM's page. We should have everything set up for you guys and being able to do that. Got to be able to shout out to my good friend, Van Rico. Van Rico Hanno is going to be doing some stuff with me. So shout out to all those guys who's getting everything laid out. I'm my good friend here with me in the studio. And I don't know, he didn't look exhausted. He look energized and sprightly. He just came off of a four-day cruise, right? You just came off a four-day cruise, and you're still here energized, my brother. What's happening with you, ladies and gentlemen? My good friend, none other than Garth Roseborough, in the studio with me today. I'm so happy to be able to have that. It is a Friday, my brother. It is good to see you back in the land of living on solid ground. Talk to me.
Well, listen, this country is awesome. This place they call the Bahamas. We have to take care of this country for future generations. Went south about 70 miles, saw some fantastic things with the Howard Grant. I saw something like a bright ball falling from the sky while I was out there. I saw water spouts. The fish that come out of our waters, those are some huge fish, and it's telling me that the young people ain't fishing like that because those fish are huge. You know, red snapper, queen snappers, groupers, some catajines and margaret fish and snappers and yellowtails. I mean, the coolers are full, and I don't know where I got the energy
from.
You
ain't tell me what you got.
You know,
as a fish man.
Yeah, but you know, the coolers are full. I mean, people buying it right now, but we can pass them and we leave here. But listen, man, I'm so grateful for the strength and opportunity, the energy that I had while I was out there. I wasn't able to keep abreast of news or anything like that, but I know that once Howard Grant is on the microphone, you're going to be on point.
I'm like Cool Modi. I go to work.
So today, you're wearing the PLB gold shirt.
You're wilding out, sir. Just let me wear my yellow Nautica shirt.
You'll be red tomorrow.
Let me wear my yellow Nautica shirt, okay?
You're doing podcast tomorrow.
We're doing podcast tomorrow.
So you're in red tomorrow?
No, sir.
White?
No, we get floral tomorrow. Listen to me. I told you.
I don't know where I got this energy from. I'm so mischievous today. Y'all have to forgive me.
No. I'm not going to forgive you. Right? Tomorrow, we're going to sit out there with the Free National Movement, having good conversations with them. We got our platform, got one little tent set up. We're going to be able to do everything. We're going to have our drone cameras out. My guy, everything.
We drink it. People are getting drinks. They're coming back out there.
I can get a cooler. I'll put a cooler together. Cooler,
but what are the people who's out there by the tent, they coming too?
Where?
From the Bristol company or wherever.
I don't know. I don't know what the Free National Movement have said.
I only try to get you in trouble.
They commandeered me to kind of do this thing, and I'm grateful to them to be able to do that. I think it gives more opportunity for the delegates who are not necessarily be out there, and for the delegates who are interested in being able to hear from various persons. We're going to be out there for about 6 hours, from 12 o'clock till 6 o'clock tomorrow, just having various conversations with different persons. The drone's going to be in the sky, so you're going to be able to see the amount of persons that's going to be out there. And everything's going to be live stream on my social media page, the Foundation, and also it's going to be going through the Free National Movement's page. So I'm excited about it. I'm excited about the opportunity. And I realize that as political time come around, there's opportunities that we got to be able to take advantage of. Talk to me. This would be decent.
Yeah, you have to. You have to. But, you know, listening, as I came back in, and I didn't have a phone for 3 days. So you imagine why I have so much energy. I didn't do all that talking around the clock like I normally do, right? But for the first time, I'm listening on the ground. And people are asking the question, what makes a great prime minister? What do we need in this country to really have great leadership? I think we've mentioned before, Howard, that the whole idea of the qualifications that make a great national leader has been basically evasive for the most part. We see hints of leadership in one or two individuals, of course. And we all have our imperfections. We all have our needs to improve ourselves. But right now in our history, Howard Grant, with people dying like the great Loftus Roker, we need to now quickly basically replace these people in order to push our country forward. And so I'm going to ask you the question now, Howard Grant, where are we going to find these people? Or do we still need these people? Or are these people there now and we simply just need to encourage these people?
Okay, so I listened to your question. And the first thing, the takeaway, and that's one of the things, right? Mm-hmm. The first takeaway that I have is the assessment that great leadership can only come from a great people, right? From a convicted people, from a people who push past the fact that no one can purchase your position. They can't purchase your conviction. They can't purchase your your ideas. They can't purchase your voice, your expectation. They can't be able to put in your hand a couple dollars and say, well, okay, vote for me, right? Mm-hmm. A great people who stands in conviction to be able to identify strength, to be able to identify what is needed for this time, that's where great leadership come from. A people who's convicted. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether or not, I think that we as a people have come from conviction. I think the Free National Movement more specifically has been formed from conviction. I think the Progressive Liberal Party has been formed in conviction, from conviction, right? And so the base, the foundation of who we are as a people is we believe that this is the course that we should take. Now, as a result of external entities, as a result of the environment, as a result of the ecosphere, around us in our environment, we tend to sway. Mm-hmm. Child, I gotta do this. You forget about where you come from. Mm-hmm. Child, I gotta do this. I gotta pay this bill. I gotta do this. I gotta build this house. I gotta get this car. I gotta do. And so the pursuit of things has shifted you from your position. Mm-hmm. I heard yesterday this guy said every third generation forgets, and so the fourth generation has to fight again. Mm. And that's the cycle. Every third generation forgets. The first generation fights. The second generation is cloaked and coddled. The third generation totally forgets.
Mm. Is that where we are now?
We've forgotten.
Okay.
We as a people have forgotten the convictions of what is expected. We've forgotten the position. The only thing that we remember is the rhythm, the idea that says, well, we are resilient people.
You realize that we have a new generation here that are fighters, right?
But no, fighting for who? They're fighting for themselves.
Yeah.
They're not fighting for community.
But they're not originally from here, you see.
Oh, this is heavy, sir.
They are fighters.
This will be 15 seconds in.
So, is there a spiritual force that allows them to come in to engage in this fight? Or is this something that's just naturally taking place? But the fighters are on their way, if they're not here already. They're not like you and me because we're not fighters.
Let's shoot straight with this now.
Yeah, straight
you,
and be decent.
You, I can try to be decent.
I try to help you, but
you know, Fridays is a day that we say that we can be decent.
Satisfy my soul.
We say we can be decent, but we actually tend to move away from that. You added an element in there that a lot of persons are pushed back from. You added an element in there, more specifically, that speaks to illegal migration.
Yeah, you're getting there. You're getting hot.
Of course, that's what you're saying. You're saying to me that as a result of illegal migration and the mixing, the mingling of our convictions, our position, our what a lot of people say organic. I don't even understand. But anyway, the organic nature of this dispensation of Bahamians have now been infused with sort of the fighting blood of a lot of persons that come from the South. Mm-hmm. And you try to figure out, what is the course thereof? What is the course thereafter? I just be decent about this as we look at this.
You like it?
I hear what you're saying.
You like the conversation?
I hear what you're saying, right? But I want to be decent about this. It don't matter if they are of foreign descent. I believe that this generation of young people are fighting for themselves. Whether they're American, Haitian, Caribbean, whoever they are, this generation, the earth has been infused with this selfish concept and idea that it's all for me. That all for me baby has matriculated down to the depths of every tectonic plate and spilled into every waterway in the world. And young people are consuming of this water finding for themselves, hey, listen, this only for me. I got to take care of me. They're not concerned about family. They're not concerned about loved ones. There's a question that's asked, this African guy asked the question. Well, there was this podcast thing I was watching. And these people go on the streets and with the mic and says, listen, if you had an opportunity to save $20 million or your wife from a burning home, what would you save? The $20 million or your wife? So the African guy says, well, what am I doing in the house with $20 million, right? And so he was totally baffled that I was living in this kind of condition and I had $20 million. Mm-hmm. He took an entire different course. He said, well, for sure, I will save $20 million. So the lady asked him, she said, you're not going to save your wife? He said, oh, hey, with $20 million, you can buy a wife in every jurisdiction. You can... I laugh, right? He said, you can buy a wife in the Caribbean. You can buy a wife in Europe. You can buy a wife. $20 million. We saved the $20 million. This generation of young people, self-centered, self-absorbed in their pursuit of things. And it is translated in our environment.
Here's the vision, Howard. $20 million on your wife. Look, there's so many questions that you can just ask about that scenario. When we did a course in ethics, you know, what is ethics, you know? If your wife has the potential to earn you $1 billion, you don't save the $20 million. You keep your wife. But if your wife is a pain in the backside, you're doggone right. God just performed a miracle for you to give you $20 million and get rid of your wife without a lawyer. I mean, that is amazing. And so... vision in our country is what is lacking. What is the potential of the selfish nature you speak about with the young people? I do not get it. I do not get it, Howard. I'll tell you why I do not get it. I do not get it because you're talking about self-centeredness, selfishness, taking care of your own person. But your pants dropping off your backside, man. Your hair unkempt. You know, you're dragging slippers. Y'all women, you're bleaching your skin, but your heel bottom black. I mean, come on, man. God made heel bottom light skin already. But it's black now because you ain't bathing. You know, that's not self-centeredness. Self-centeredness, when you talk about taking care of yourself, when a tourist comes off a boat to visit your country and sees you, and you're taking care of yourself, you're groomed properly, you're speaking properly, you're courteous.
That's not the focus, though.
That's what I'm saying to you.
But that's not the focus. When I say that young people are in pursuit of things for themselves, they're not concerned about the general community. They're not concerned about...
What things are you talking about? Because they all sound destructive to me.
That's all they are. The pursuit and acquisition of stuff is always detrimental to community. Yes. That's just what it is.
Yes.
That's just what it is.
So you're saying it's tingsy.
The pursuit and acquisition of stuff... of things, of superficial items that you could never take with you on the other side. This pursuit, this relentless pursuit and focus, the rejection of human beings, the rejection of convictions, the rejection of morality, the rejection of being able to build community, just being able to acquire, whether it be cars, clothes, homes, women, men, drugs, superficiality,
yes,
is always destructive.
So let me take this to politics then. We have several people who are vying for positions to lead this nation. Has the Almighty sent us an anointed people to lead this country, or are these people who, like you said, just want the teensiness or the strength of what politics brings to the table? Are they coming with purpose? Or they're just coming simply to fulfill their own needs.
The past 4 weeks on this show, you and I, when you sat with me, when I sat with myself, when we had the show, have been pushing. And I got a lot of pushback. Can I be honest
you
with
did?
You? Yeah, you wasn't here, so you don't know, right? I got a lot of pushback from strategic folks that voices who I trust and look up to, individuals I look up to in the mm-hmm. organizations, mm-hmm. Have pushed back against what I was saying with the pursuit and idea of being able to retain the position of comfort, retain the position of culture in the organization. Howard, you know how the F&M goes. This is how
did
the F&M goes,
you,
so forth
you,
and so
did
on.
Did you feel bullied?
No, I didn't feel bullied. They can't bully me.
But were they trying to?
They're trying to be able to see whether or not they could turn the whip on. I'm not that kind of guy. I'm not in the Free National Movement. You can't turn the whip on me. You could either stand up and speak to these particular issues, or you could cuss me. That's two things. And, you know, what you can cuss me? I fat. Okay, we didn't deal with that. Now what? Now, we didn't deal with that. So let's talk about these things. Since I've said that you may be incompetent, you may not necessarily have these particular positions, you may be lackluster, you're this, you're that, the next thing. You can't bully me. You can't bully me. You could try to frustrate me, right? And I felt like I was getting to that point, but I want to get to this. I want to say this to you. The only reason I even have a conversation about the Free National Movement at this particular time is simply because they opened their doors, they flung their doors open, their organizational doors to the community, and says that we're moving towards a convention. And if we're moving towards a convention, the only scrutiny that we can offer is to identify whether or not these particular persons in the trifecta, only the trifecta of leadership, can be able to take the country where it's supposed to go if you're given an opportunity in 2026 or whenever, right?
Here's my issue with that. Here's my issue with that, Howard. And I like what you said. I'm going to let you throw your numbers out in a minute. You mentioned the opening of doors. Do you actually realize what you said?
That's exactly what they've done.
You do realize that what you're saying is that before this time, the doors were closed.
Absolutely.
And we felt a disconnection from the Free National Movement to the point where even I got...
The doors are currently closed in the PLP.
Yeah, and you feel like, you know what? What's the sense? And that's why I guess a lot of people
are... They're on church doors.
A lot of people are saying now, you know, politics doesn't make sense to me. I'm not going to vote. I'm not going to the polls. I'm done with politics. I've heard strong PLP say this to me. I've heard strong FNM say this to me, that they're done with politics because they don't see the sense in it. And I'm like, what?
Why?
Because people are feeling disconnected. They feel that door is closed.
Political doors are never open.
Until such time.
Right? They you know, Pastor Mario often says that our doors are always on welcome hinges. They're opening on welcome hinges.
But the first thing they say, on both sides. Once they become the government, they said, oh, we're going to have open doors for you.
But the open door policy is a corporate policy that was introduced in the Americas.
Yes.
Where it was literally an open door. That if you wanted to be your general manager or so forth and so on, the door was always open to you.
Correct.
Now, despite the fact that the door was open to you, there was always a very subtle, unspoken rule that you don't enter people's space without being able to announce your space.
Mm-hmm.
So the open door policy is only for the purposes of perception. Politically, from a political standpoint, the open door policy does not exist within organizations.
Do you know what a cell phone is?
They open the door. Watch me. During the time of their convention. That is the only time that they seek vulnerability. That is the only time that you could lend scrutiny. That is the only time that there's any reflection, inflection, this type of introspection to understand whether or not they're in the right position.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. After your convention over and the doors close, it is done.
Cell phone number change.
It is done. No.
They close the door.
The cell phone numbers change after governance.
Yeah, after governance.
After
they said,
governance.
Yeah, they close the door.
This is only internal body issues. Yeah. They don't change the cell phone yet. They still need to get to governance. They got to talk to the generals. They got to talk to other
they
people.
They got three cell phones and all the numbers change.
No. They got one for now. But when they get to governance,
three.
They got more. Yeah. So I say that to say, over the past 4 weeks, we've lent significant scrutiny to the trifecta of leadership.
Uh-huh.
And as much as I seek to... define the fact that I'm not talking about an individual, I'm only talking about a seat. I'm talking about this particular seat, the expectations of what this seat holds, what this seat can do, no matter who sits in it.
Mm-hmm.
There is a standard that must be adhered to, identified and worked up, lived up to. Yesterday, the day before yesterday, I had a conversation about political social promotion
mm-hmm.
and how people are not scrutinized. They're not dissected for what they've done. They have not, none of us have taken the time out to be able to really scrutinize and say, you haven't done these things that you said you do. We've allowed it to happen and just allow social promotion. That has trickled down in every subsector of our society.
Mm-hmm.
In schools, in your work, you know somebody at your job right now, in your government job right now,
mm-hmm.
who don't know how to cut on the computer. Child Jenny, you might say, you can't do this for me. She getting a whole check.
No, she got a whole promotion.
She
got a promotion.
And she don't know how to work. She don't even know how to do a spreadsheet.
She know how to bring cells for the boss, though.
Oh, the boss is straight.
Bring the newspaper.
This curry favor social promotion has matriculated in almost every subsector of our society, not for the purposes of anything other than me checking for me. That's it. This is the mark, the proverbial cancer that exists in our society now. Selfishness. People are self-indulged and concerned about themselves. If you don't concern yourself about community, you could never get better.
But you know what? Politics is not for the purpose of unifying people.
That's exactly what it's for.
It's not for that.
That's exactly what it's for.
No, it's not.
The objectives of politics is for the purposes of unification of a community.
Let me hear it. The purpose of politics is to protect the wealthy. We just never knew that. The purpose of church is to unify people, to bring fellowship, and to pray together, and to encourage each other, and to share with each other. Politics protects the wealthy, period. That's it. If you do not believe me, remember in 313 AD, when they had the Council of Nicaea, right? At Nicaea, Rome was so powerful as a nation, but it had conquered so much of the world that they found that they had too many poor people. Too many poor people. So in order to separate the poor people from attacking the wealthy people, they instituted church, Christianity. And the purpose of Christianity was to give poor people hope. Let poor people know that if you behave yourself, you're going to get a harp, you're going to get a crown, you're going to get golden streets and pearly gates, you're going to get a tree that produces its fruit, 12 fruit in its season. You got all these things happening for you. You got angels who are going to serve you. You got a mansion. You got all these things coming to you. But all you got to do, poor people, is behave until you die. And then you can be straight. That's church. Politics says, we can pave the road, we can fix the lights, we can make sure everybody get a job, blah, blah, blah. But you know it's not going to happen.
So everybody's shifting and looking for a position to show themselves supreme.
Everybody's found out that if I don't go down to the little web shop thingy to try to get me a couple of dollars, I'm dead. That's what's been happening in this country.
I don't believe that, though.
No, how are you different, man? But I try to tell you.
No, but see, if I'm
different, when you see Rev, okay, the Reverend said to me, God, things tough, eh? Look, I got to close my church. I said, why? What happened? He said, man, I ain't making no money. Now, when you go to the web shop, I ain't calling no web shop name, but I know it's one in Coral Harbor for sure. And I see the Reverend them sneaking in and sneaking out. Where have them buying numbers too?
Let's be clear about this. If I exist amongst the whole, then I'm not the only person. There's always a remnant. There's always a remnant.
That is correct.
Right?
I'm
not the only person who thinks this way. There is,
but you're part of the few, though.
That's okay.
You are part of the remnant.
I could be a part of the 300. We still can take you down, and we can fight until we're dead.
But you want to understand about the 300? You going in the front.
That's fine.
I in the back.
Uriah knew what the game was.
When the number cut down to 50, that's when the game quit.
Uriah knew what the game was, and he still adhered to what Caesar required. He rendered himself, David. I'm talking about leadership.
Yeah.
All right.
Uh huh.
Uriah knew exactly what was up. In fact, he may have known that David was trying to... Everybody knew David's tactics. Everyone knew. He may have knew that this man won't kill me for my wife, but if God liveth...
Did God live?
Then Uriah died.
Uh-huh. And what else, what happened after? Tell the whole story.
And his wife was commandeered.
Yes, by David.
By David.
And then they produced a son by the name of...
Solomon. Now watch me. I just want to be clear.
And through Solomon came Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Listen to me.
So all that wickedness, righteousness still took place.
But I'm trying to explain to you some things.
Yeah. You see, it went deep, so I had to go with you.
And I could go even deeper.
Go deeper.
Because the steps of a righteous man are always ordered by God.
Okay.
And both Uriah and David was righteous even in sin.
So two of them would be in heaven.
I don't know.
12 gates. One go to one gate, one go to the other.
And then the two shall never come to three.
So let me ask the question with the Pharisees. Whose wife is she going to be?
I just want to be clear with you. I just want to be able to say some things. Because if there is always a remnant that exists, you can't always render your strength to the environment that is around you. Garth, I don't play numbers. Not in a bad way. For those people who play numbers, go, okay, praise God for you. I don't play numbers, God. I don't go to Obey Man. I don't do none of these things. I am faithful. And if it don't happen, and it was never supposed to happen. And if it happened, my God, I give you praise. I don't fight these things. I don't live with this kind of a desire to relentlessly pursue and acquire things. I don't believe in that.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I want is my wife not to row.
The wife can row?
What you mean?
That sweet little lady, she can row? What? Why are you kidding me?
That's a big man. No, she can't fight me, so she got to row me from
no,
a distance.
No, she ain't rowing. She ain't sucking her teeth and all that stuff.
I'm saying that to say, the only thing that I want to ensure is that my family is taken care of. And once I work, in the sweat of my brow, my family can eat bread. Once they're content, satisfied, I never teach them these things. If I see my children going contrary, I say to them, hey, listen, this is not important. What is the objective?
I heard you say that before in your house. You told them that. You told your children that.
This is not important. What is the objective? You called for greatness. You're doing something contrary. Get yourself together. I got to put that in them.
But how would you rare?
But that's okay.
The average person tell their child, if you don't get this house and find some money, and don't come back in here tonight, and the children them go out and hustle. That's what happens in this country.
That's too heavy.
You say it's heavy, but it's survival for a lot of people. Their children are not born for greater purpose of leadership of the nation. No, their children are born to take care of your ma and your pa.
Yeah, but Esther, whose parents died, no one even knew that she was going to be in this position. I could tell you relentless stories of people who came from a lowly background, a lowly position. Huh? Can anything good come out of Bethlehem or Nazareth? Uh-huh. Can anything good come out of 8 Mile Rock? Can anything good come out of these particular places, out of Auckland, out of Crooked Island, out of the back of the bush? Can anything good come out of these people? And these people have rose to critical acclaim nationally.
So Howard.
They're being steadfast. Loftus Roko would always tell us a story about when he was just digging potatoes. He'd always tell us a story, but he didn't even know he was poor.
But you just had a show the other day. Telling me how you used to live out west. Remember that show?
Yes.
And you told us how, you know, you live out east now. And I was actually listening to the show. And you're talking about the hospital, where they want to put this hospital. And that's very important. People invest in where they live and la, 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 la. So why didn't you go amongst the people that live on 6th Street de Grove? Where Mother Pratt is.
Telling who I am. I never live amongst people on 6th Street de Grove. That's just not who I am.
Mother Pratt lived there.
Listen, I come from 8 Mile Rock. I come from 8 Mile Rock. I went to 8 Mile Rock High School.
Mother Pratt was the Deputy Prime Minister. My wife, she lived right there, 6 Feet to Grove.
Well, praise God for her. My wife told me that 8 Mile Rock, I suppose we was in a row, 8 Mile Rock is the biggest ghetto in the Bahamas. I come from the middle of the biggest ghetto in the Bahamas. I'm not ashamed to say that this is where I'm from. This is who my family is. This is the people I love. I went to 8 Mile Rock High School. I went to Martintown Primary School. I came from a lowly, lowly background. But there was a standard that was raised and identified in my home. There was a standard of expectation. There was a standard that permeated my soul and said, there is an expectation for me to be able to move like this no matter where I go in life. I don't even stay at certain hotels, sir. That's just me.
But how are you?
That's why I grow up.
But you close the door, man.
I ain't close the door.
You close the door. You just like the FNM, you close the door. Because see, if you don't want to live where these people live to feel their pain, you can't lead them. You can't help
them. Sir, this island is 21 by 7.
Yeah, but you close the door.
21 by 7. I don't have to live with you in the bathroom to be able to smell and permeate that if we right in front of
you.
Yeah,
you need to live this so you can get the full experience.
No.
You need the full experience.
I don't need to go to jail to understand these things, sir.
Jail ain't bad. That's where
that is crazy what you're saying today.
That's where Joseph was. If Joseph
is this the relentless? Is Joseph, this your desire?
Joseph couldn't be governor if he didn't go to jail.
But that was Joseph's steps. That ain't my steps.
How you know? You should try it.
Ladies and gentlemen, 323-623-2325-4316, 325-4259, 325-242-300-5720, or hit me up 422-4796. So you see my side?
Howard, if...
They can wrap two blankets around me.
If politicians went to jail before, they wouldn't teeth like they teeth it now. They'd know better.
Some politicians went to jail.
Who?
You forget when Obi was in jail.
What did he put Obi in jail for?
You're forgetting.
Yeah. Oh, that thing.
You forget?
Let's talk about that after the break.
Don't forget. Guys, let me take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
Foundation. The foundation.
We won't get them FNM, say get them signs. You just gotta love the way he take a stand. This is serious business with big demands. Move
moving forward stronger, yeah, he's a man. He is Mr. Chair, nobody can compare. So sit small, tell your name, Paul, cause he belong right there.
Get my name them is Sam, them how you do it. Get them signs, you got to all the delegates, vote for me on June 1st. I'm applying for an extension of my contract.
Here's to the go-getters, the early risers, and the late-night dreamers. You, the visionaries, painting futures in your mind, in your studio, your office, your sacred space. Here's to the adventurers, explorers of every realm. To you, the innovators, turning the cogs of progress. In a world where connection is a lifeline, a pathway to possibilities. Alive is the perfect connection for everyone, every lifestyle. Every day.
Visit BeAlive.com today.
Vote Elsworth Johnson.
Elsworth Johnson.
The man for the chairman.
The man for the chairman.
He ain't coming to talk too much. Track record all about the common touch. Elsworth Johnson.
Cast your vote.
It's the man for the chairman.
Let your vote make sense.
Vote him for chairman. He's the right voice. Elsworth Johnson. He's the right choice.
I am Elsworth Johnson, candidate for chairman of the Free National Movement.
Right now, our party stands at a critical crossroad.
Come June 1st, stand with me as we reignite the fire of the freedom fighters and that government in the sunshine.
Don't forget, vote Elsworth Johnson.
Elsworth Johnson.
The man for the chairman.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation. Beautiful day, live and in full effect here, being able to talk about these things. Make sure you pick up your Guardian newspaper. Pintard pledges to be a unifier in the Free National Movement. Free National Movement, Top Gun. Top Guns come out to support current leader. Last night, two generators transported to BPL's Clifton site and damaged BPL fuel line blamed for Adelaide leak. You ain't tell me about that. You're out in Adelaide. You ain't tell me about that. All right. And then Tane arrested after high-speed chase. There's a lot of stuff that's happening and a lot of things that's going on. I want to be able to talk about these things. I am, my mouth hangs open, right? Almost like waddling, right? It seems as though I'm dehydrated in my tongue. Particular, you know what I mean? Like, I'm looking at this and I am baffled. I am absolutely baffled.
You baffled?
I am baffled. Mm-hmm. Not a bad baffle, but a curious. Like, I wonder what's going on here, right? Like, very curious. Okay. As I'm looking at this, and I looked last evening at the amount of persons who served in Minister Cabinet that supports Pintard.
Isn't that amazing?
Isn't that absolutely amazing?
But guess what?
That's blowing my mind.
But guess what? That's what I'm trying to
tell you. I am, as I look on, I am, and this kind of a nature, this baffled posture that I have is just trying to be able to figure it out. And well, I don't think we can ascribe this concept and idea that politics makes strange bedfellows. I don't think that that's a general application here. I think that there's something specific that's going on. And I don't think any of them, because every single one of them that I've seen last night has this decorum, this political decorum, this kind of a statesman-like quality. Mm-hmm. And none of them will never tell us the real reason.
Oh, they're not going to talk.
They ain't going to say. Hey, listen, I support Michael Pintard. But none of us will say, this was the inflection that caused me to go contrary, and this is why I've made this particular decision. Right? The men that I'm looking at, can I say this? I can say this. Watch me. The men that I'm looking at, the men that every single one of them I know, mm-hmm. every single one of them I've interviewed, we've had personal conversations, I know them. Some of them I'll consider my friend. Some of them we are, you know, we're cordial, so mm-hmm. I don't have no problem with it, mm-hmm. right? But every one of them, like I said to you, I know their posture, I know their position, and I know that they are not Ingramites. Oh, you didn't expect me to say that. I know you didn't expect me to say that. They are not Ingram's men. They identified opportunities in the Free National Movement as a result of their commitment and their position with Minnis. These men that I'm looking at. Mm-hmm. And as I look at them and I'm trying to understand what could have possibly gone wrong in those 4 years that they served under the pleasure of the prime minister, for you to go contrary as the prime minister seeks to be able to, the former prime minister seeks to be able to get back in this position. That is a peculiar thing.
But you know, the Haitian people, we have that ability. And I'm going to say this to you people, especially in the civil service. I want to give you all our respect from the foundation for the work that you do. And Howard, something strange took place in my mind while I was on my way going out fishing. And I said something that was very crass, very cold-hearted. But I said, you know, some people don't need to live. They need to perish. Because there's some of you on the job. Y'all make people's lives a living hell, man. You call yourself Christian, child of God, and everything else, but y'all really getting in people's way. Y'all just do everything y'all could possibly do just to get in people's way. This whole thing with Howard is now speaking about is how Bahamian people can sit with you, Howard Grant, as if they support you, as if they like you, as if they want to come to your house for dinner, and at the first opportunity that they have, they switch on you better then BPL could switch on you. Because BPL ain't switching on you like that. When BPL switch you off, please be off a couple hours sweating. But these people will switch on a dime. As if they liked you before, but all of a sudden, you just finding out that these people don't even like you. They don't even want you to live. We have some people in this country, Howard, who are nothing more than vision killers. Are you listening to me? You have some people in this country who have no loyalty, as Howard said earlier, to no one but themselves. No one else. These same people are now crying for Pintard. I want to say something to you now, Howard Grant.
I won't hear this.
You better believe that at first opportunity that they could replace Pintard, they would do it.
This is
him. They ain't loyal to no Pintard. Because they ain't loyal to no Minister. They ain't loyal to no Ingram. You know what they're loyal to? You said it earlier in the show. They're loyal to themselves. And I said to you, when I first started coming on your show, with your permission, and I appreciate you, I said to you, every politician believes that they could be the prime minister. Yes or no?
That's their responsibility. They got to think that.
But they're not performing as if they want to be one.
The thought and the application is two different things. They even exist in two different
realms. In order for you to be the leader of this country,
you could think anything.
You got to be able to do something like really cold-hearted. Like you said on one show earlier, you got to be able to take some people down.
Listen.
It's the only way to climb the ladder. You got to take some people down.
I could identify.
So, minutes out the way. Pintard is here now, so who can take him down next to be the next leader? That's how these people are thinking.
The dispensation that we live in, people could identify themselves in a different realm. They could identify as a woman. I identify as a man. I identify as slim. I identify as a genius. No matter your identification, your genetic makeup and application is two different things. And if we start to make determinations of who people are based upon how they identify themselves, as opposed to how we assess them, then we are the ones who are going to be in problems. And I think that that's one of the things that we have to look at from a political standpoint. If we don't identify these candidates that put themselves forward, whether it be general election, whether it be convention, in other ways, if we don't identify them for their attributes, their strengths, their weaknesses, if we don't take a proper analysis of them, then they could go in and say, well, I'm a genius, I'm a this, I'm a that.
Yes,
and this is what we have in our country.
Yes, yes, but guess what?
We have to make the determination.
Guess what? I will say this to you. And I saw this, man, it was so clear to me. When the Progressive Liberal Party, you know, Brave Davis finally became the leader of the Progressive Liberal Party, and then along comes Chester Cooper, right? And I looked at Chester Cooper and I said, okay, Chester Cooper has more charisma, he speaks more eloquently, he's a businessman, and he's able to execute. I said, man, that fella got some serious potential to be the prime minister of this country. And then at one point in the Progressive Liberal Party's path, you almost would have thought that Chester Cooper was ready to take Brave Davis out today.
That can't work.
Don't listen to what I'm saying to you. You thought that based on his performance. And then all of a sudden, if someone whispered in his ear and said, boss, if you want to get there, you got to cool off a little bit.
Yeah, because he's not the prime minister of Exuma.
Right. So we saw Chester Cooper.
I hope you see what I said there.
I heard that. Okay. And he gave him this ball of energy. And then all of a sudden he said, you know what? Let me just cool down just a little bit. Yes. And so with Michael Pintard now, everyone is cool right now. I want to see who can be the first one to try to raise their head. That's what I want to see.
No one will do that. They can test him. They can test him. And he's going to have to show himself strong. He's going to have to identify the team around him to ensure that they can be able to move with passion and determination. Let me get one call before we get it here. Caller on the line, go ahead.
Howard.
Hey.
Jesus, how are you? How you doing, Howard?
What's up, God?
Anton.
God, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing Superman. I'm back on the land.
Yeah, welcome back. Howard, you say he ain't look tired.
No, he looks sprightly. Unless he's eating sea moss on the boat.
Like, yeah, this is a serious conversation with y'all having. I know I ain't have enough time to really dig into this.
It's 1 o'clock.
I can catch you on the next side, but let me just say this one thing before
go ahead.
I go. I saved the conversation on the current politics for the next side, but the part that God spoke of initially, what I want to say is God, politics initially was for the wealthy. But as the planet and persons on the planet evolved over time, and in particular on this side of the planet, in the Bahamas, where the majority rule movement stepped in and kicked in, where the freedom fighters kicked in.
Let's talk about this after the break, Anton. I like politics. It, but we can fight after the break.
Hold on. Politics initially in the Bahamas was a minority rule kind of politics. Then it switched to a majority rule kind of politics.
No, man.
Where it
I can fight
working.
You on that.
Pardon me?
Let him fight you after the break,
Anton. Give me a call back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Quick commercial break. Get to news and be right back after this.
Foundation. Contact DaVinci Printing Innovators today for all your printing needs. Customized receipt books, NCR forms, invitations, event tickets, program booklets, business and ID cards, flyers, posters, and banners. There's scanning, printing, lamination, and binding services. Also, a variety of office supplies. No design, no problem. Dedicated graphic designers are ready to serve you. DaVinci Printing Innovators, located in the Village Road Shopping Plaza. Stop in or call 677-2922 or browse services online at www.davinciprinting242.com. Where printing is an art.
Marco's is bringing you a pizza experience like never before. Introducing our new Pizzoli baked with house-made dough. Stuffed with 3 fresh cheeses and premium toppings. Spiced with irresistible garlic sauce and Romeshan seasoning for only $8.95. Choose from 4 incredible toppings. Buffalo chicken, pepperoni, chicken bacon ranch, and pepperoni and sausage. Order now at marcospizzabahamas.com. Every store, every day, because this is not just pizza, it's the Italian way.
Bonneville Bones, established in 1970, is the leader in men's fashion in the Bahamas. We're conveniently located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza, and fully stocked with everything you need for all occasions. Our Harbor Bay location is one door north of Alive, with the black and white signage of Bonneville Boutique. Both locations are open from 10 to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Bonneville Bones and Bonneville Boutique, still the leader in men's fashion. Located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Foundation. The Foundation. Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, live and in full effect. The lines are wide open. Please be a part. 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. Anywhere for the family of islands, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 424-7-96. Here sitting with none other than Garth Roseborough at the top of the show. We're just trying to be able to analyze what do we identify in leadership? What do we want in leadership? Is it going to be relentless pontification, or is it going to be an application to these words? Hmm. Is it going to be a move towards these words? Is it going to be capturing the essence of what you're saying and seeing significant application? I mean, listen, I could say a lot of things, right? But if we don't make significant moves towards that, then we're going to end up at the exact same spot, being able to scrutinize one government or another, one political organization or another, and still not seeing the significant move towards the country changing.
Okay.
And the question that I have is this, and the lines are lit right up. The question that I have is this. Do you believe, especially from the news clip and the information that we've seen, do you believe that Michael Pintard has this sort of an essence that he can be able to make these things happen?
What's amazing to me in your questioning is, do you recall, I shouldn't answer the question with a question, but you recall that Michael Pintard was the Minister of Agriculture?
Yes.
What was the greatest feat that he accomplished as the Minister of Agriculture? Tell me.
You got to help me. You got to let me think about this.
Let him have someone call the show and tell us what it was.
No, he'd call himself. He'd call himself. Right? Are you saying this as a result that if I can't put my finger on it specifically, it's null and void, or it's non-existent?
He was a cabinet minister.
But what does
he
that mean?
He sat at the head of agriculture in the country.
But what does that mean?
So, do you have to be a prime minister to get something done, or do you just pontificate until you could become the prime minister?
When he did the concept and idea of being able to incorporate certain elements during the COVID time, more specifically, and opportunities to be able to feed ourselves and take care of ourselves.
Pontification.
Right?
Pontification.
That was a pontification, man. He created the environment for that.
Show me the yield then. Because you're talking, but I say no yield.
Well, we could do that for almost every single cabinet minister and the prime minister.
This is the point that I'm making. Do you have to be the prime minister to get something done? That's all I'm asking you.
In many ways, yes.
Okay. So if he's now becoming the prime minister, then he has the wherewithal to ensure that something gets done by everybody.
He's retaining the position. He's seeking to retain the position of leader at the Free National Movement.
What does that mean?
Let's take one step at a time. You already didn't put the man in the prime minister's seat. He had to win this fight.
You know, honestly speaking, I would like to see him as a prime minister, since you all want me to say it. You know why? Because he's in my generation. I'd like to see my generation take the helm and do something great. But right now, I don't have that confidence because you're not giving me anything to work with. I'm not saying I'm a better man than you. I'm not saying that I'm more competent than you. I'm just simply saying, as a voter, as a citizen of this country who wants the best for this country, we just want to see greatness. I could say that because I'm not in the position where I want to be the prime minister. Never wanted to be the prime minister. All I really ever wanted was the country to be right. I was the leader of the People's National Coalition. When it came time for unification, I stepped back. Why?
It's peculiar you would say that.
Yeah, I didn't have to be the prime
minister. You were
the
leader
of the People's National Coalition.
Of the People's National Coalition.
Yes.
And if you had won all the seats, you would become the
prime minister.
Oh, no, but you're telling me. You can tell me. You have no aspirations.
But guess what? But what I'm saying, do you know, it wasn't an aspiration for me. It was what they laid at my feet. I took the responsibility. I did not have to. That's why when all the coalitions were asked the question,
but
to come together.
But put your name on the paper. You put your name there.
No, I didn't.
They print the paper with your name on it?
No, what I'm saying to you is that they had the meeting and they said, we need you to be a leader because you have the qualifications to be a leader. I did that. I don't fight people. I do whatever it takes to help build this country. What I'm saying, it baffles me, since you want to use the word baffled today, the word of the day for the foundation is baffled, that so many people want to fight for power. And once they get there, they don't know what they're
Michael Pintard said the exact same thing that you're saying.
And this is what I'm also saying to you.
Michael Pintard said the exact same thing that you're saying.
So once again,
he said that he never had no aspirations to become. He was dumbfounded when they even considered him for the position of leadership of the organization.
Lies.
This is heavy.
Lies. I tell you, it's
I'm
lies.
Telling you what he's saying.
It's every politician wants to be the prime minister. You do not get into politics unless you like power.
You contradicting your own self.
No, I'm saying to you.
You said that you had no aspirations to become the prime minister, that you've accepted a position and as a leader of your organization, and if you had won those particular seats, then by default you would be prime minister.
And guess
so
what?
Your aspirations are not
what
there.
Happened. And guess what happened? Everyone who wanted to be the leader, I said you could take it. Sit there. You could have it.
I said the same thing.
I said you could have it. I never fought for nothing, man. I didn't have to go to no convention. I never fought for. When we went to the church and those people who were there, we went to the church for the vote for the coalition leader. Mr. Lincoln Bain was there, Cassia Stewart was there, Ali McIntosh was there, Micklin Seymour was there. All those coalitions came together. I was there. I never even fought.
So why didn't Aunt Ali? She wouldn't be prime minister.
Man, they're bad. They think God called him to do this thing, man. Listen to me.
Hey, Ali, how you doing?
I know that's your friend.
Minister Ali.
Yes. The servant
Reverend
leader.
Howard.
The servant leader.
Servant leader.
Yes.
Yeah.
But good, what I'm saying to you is that leadership like David, who went out into the field, when the prophet anoints you by Yahweh, by God himself, that you are the one, it's laid upon you. It's recognized by a higher authority, as it were. You don't have to fight for that. Like you
so
said
the names
earlier.
That you called in the room was the higher authority that identified you
man,
and anointed you accordingly?
Man,
I'm going to be indecent
you said. When I went to the church, I'll tell you where I thought I was. I thought I was with Alibaba and the thieves.
And the fire. Let me take a telephone call. You don't do much today. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hey, I won.
Hey, Anthony, get back in. What's the thing?
Yeah, back to your alum. I think you were telling God to let me finish saying what I was saying, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
But I didn't hear anything what God was saying.
No. God said he can fight you on another side when we get here. Now,
that's no problem. I always down with a fight.
You started to talk about the fact that wealth was or politics was created for the wealthy, but the transition happened in the country and throughout the world where the majority of persons are living below their means.
Right.
And this majority rule stepped in place. As a result of majority rules, that politics had to shift its course to ensure that it empowered those persons who are considered grassroots,
as
who are considered lonely.
Majority rule was the tool that was used to shift from minority rule to majority rule. That majority rule era, whatever you want to call it, that movement where freedom fighters rose up was the point in time, the dispensation of politics nationally and globally,
Mastermind,
right?
And
I was localizing it to the Bahamas.
Your father, your father's my good friend, right?
Yes.
I love him, right? Okay, let me say, your mother too. Okay, guess what? You rather have 10 houses on 6th Street de Grove that are 3-bedroom, 1-bath, or you rather have one house in life?
I don't want you to diminish 6th Street de Grove, my brother.
No, I do not. I have property on 6th Street de Grove, by the way.
That's good.
So
I have property right next to Mother Pratt. So what I'm saying to you again...
Let me just finish what I was saying, right?
Because you know this majority rule, like you ruling plenty things means
something. Can you hear me, God?
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me just finish what I was saying,
man,
so that you can fully gather the context in which I'm speaking.
Please do.
Right?
Please do.
Rather than taking me down that road where you were taking me. Now with the majority rule movement and localizing it to the Bahamas, and then I want to switch to what you all are talking to now, please, Howard. So just give me a chance, please, on both segments, on both sides of the discussion. And so switching to local politics, with the Selenin-Pinnin cabinets, right? Because he would have had 5 of them, right?
Go quickly.
We had a circumstance where we had sufficient persons in the backbench in the country who could adequately stand up and fight for where they saw a difference or where there was a splitting of hairs. You had an adequate amount of persons coming from the government side on the backbench to execute that, to give great effect to that. That's no longer the case in the modern politics since Hubert Ingraham made that change in the size of cabinets during his tenure as prime minister, right? But before his tenure, we had an adequately sized cabinet, an adequately sized backbench, and you were able to go to task with holding the government's feet to the fire along with the opposition. Backbench along with the opposition were able to exercise democracy in parliament. That's hardly the case today. Because if you have the majority being the cabinet, that cripples and isolates the entire legislature process. You understand what I'm saying, Howard?
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying, God?
I like it, but you know there's some heavy influence coming from the leadership.
Well, I wouldn't say leadership because we had a situation recently, where prime ministers are on the record, including Prime Minister Davis, explaining that it's very difficult to manage when you have such a huge majority in terms of the win column.
Hubert Ingraham said that in Bimini.
Pardon me?
No, Anton.
Hubert Ingraham said that in Bimini.
It's very difficult to manage.
Hubert Ingraham, also, I was about to say that too, Howard. Hubert said it. Hubert Ingraham, sorry, because you have Hubert Minutes. Hubert Ingraham said it, but the most recent prime minister to speak to that was Prime Minister Philip Davis.
But you can't manage it, Anton, if you're on the plane going somewhere else, man.
Well, you know, that...
I feel like that's a superficial argument.
Anton, lit right up today. Let me just move on to the last part of what I wanted to say, which is the present conversation, right? Peter Turnquist, and this is said in my humble opinion,
quickly,
as a political observer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Peter Turnquist nor Dr. Dwayne Sine, from a microphone, are the ideal persons to draw comparisons of leadership, to draw comparisons of leadership and why they choose one over the other.
I agree.
Between Pintard and former Prime Minister Menes, simply for the biggest factor
Prime Minister Menes had to strongly
demand their resignation from his cabinet.
I agree, Anton.
Which would leave some strong ill feeling finally, can you hear me, Howard?
Yeah, go ahead, quickly.
Finally, based on the numbers, and I thought Pintard did a great job in his speech last night, right?
Yeah, it looked like that.
Based on the numbers, because I watched it. I watched it because I believe in being informed and not being ignorant to the facts if I'm going to discuss them intelligently or dissect them intelligently. So from that perspective, I watched them all. And so, from the numbers that I saw last night, right, the numbers does not say to someone like me who's thinking that there's a clear-cut win for Pintard.
You know why? Let me tell you why, Anton.
Especially when you analyze the support that a minister has in the House and outside of the House, especially when you look at the fact that Pintard is the current leader of the opposition.
But everybody's supposed to want to show on his behalf.
But when you look at the fact that they have about 800 voting delegates based on what was revealed by the former member for Beans and Grandstown in Apple. I can't remember his name right now.
Travis Robinson. Based on what he revealed,
800 persons who are voting delegates, I didn't see
I think it was 700 and some.
But we were presented last night. Thank you for the opportunity. I cut it short right there.
I appreciate you, Anton. I want to be able to say something. The reason why you can't see the contrast is because you don't know these people intimately. This is not the general election. Let's just be very clear about this. This is not the general election. This is the internal party convention. That means that you have to be a delegate. You have to be identified. Despite the fact that you're an FNM or an FNM card carrying FNM and you've been an FNM for 99 years, if you're not a delegate, if you're not identified, if you're not a part of the council itself, then you do not have a vote in the organization. So you could be a participant and you could be in the room because the room is open to all and sundry, right? You could be a participant. You could wear a red. You could shake your pom-pom. You could be able to participate.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know who are the voting delegates in the room. I can say to you, that I've identified last evening as I looked across the plain of the room at British Colonial. I know these people to be delegates. I know these people to be voting members, the people that I can look at and see, right? I also, when you look over Dr. Minister's thing, you could see some persons are voting delegates. Now, keep in mind, I don't know all them. I don't know all the MCMs. I don't know all these particular persons. But people who I know that have been historically attached to the organizations, to its council, I know those people to be voting members. So I just want to be able to say that. The reason why none of us can differentiate whether or not it's strong on one side or the other, because you don't know if it's a delegate-rich room, if it's a room that that the delegates can vote in that particular space. Mm-hmm. Let me take the next telephone call. Caller, go ahead.
Yeah, good day, Howard, and good day, God. Welcome back, God.
Thank you, my brother. How's everything?
Yeah, because, you know, I'm disappointed that them 2,400 votes got away.
From Howard. well, tell somebody give me the nomination. Give me the nomination in West Grand Bahama. I will go just for you to get the 2,400 votes. So,
when you saw Papa that walk in that room with Patricia Parker, it was over. And I hope you paid that fee for your mother as a delegate to be there on the 1st of June.
My mother will be here.
Okay, I say, you hear what I ask?
To be a delegate.
No, I said, I hope you paid that fee.
Yeah, I can pay. That is nothing. I pay for it, of course, because
you could beg, but
No.
A couple days ago, you were saying, I can't hear from them, and this and that, and they wouldn't come on. But day before yesterday, Man, everything was full right up.
You like that? Well, I know I like it. Praise Jesus. Yeah, stop praying. I would rather, let me just be very clear with you.
No, don't say that. Sans came with the music, and I applaud that.
I like that.
He spent some money and spent some money with a local Bohemian entertainer, and I love that.
I like
that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He do what he had to do.
I like that.
Let's just cut to the chase.
Let me hear it. Howard,
you see, what we have to do is we can't be blindsided by Anton, with his bloviations. He's come on this radio because you gave him but 7 minutes just now, running on but nothing, okay? And he's getting all up in these other people's business and flying, Phil, like God was saying, always flying all over the place and wouldn't take care of people's business. Anton is getting an average of 8 to 10 minutes every day on this show. How much he's been paying?
I don't know if that's so. You're fine.
Anyway, let's look at it like this now. Let's just stick with what the people concerned about, PPL. You think them two engines were just, coming, was just ordered last month?
No.
I don't think so.
They've been ordered before March. I will bet Anton with anybody. And whoever end up with him could do what they want to do with him. Because if I end up with him, he will get what he gets for running his mouth talking a bunch of foolishness. And they could do what they want to do with him. I will bet Anton, they was ordered before March. You see what I'm saying? Before they put this PPL offering to Arcosys, they put it in place. You see, we have to look at it like this. Today, 13 hours and 30 minutes of sunlight. And they did not follow through with the solarizing of this country from 2021 when they came in power. Many of them put it in place to put solar. The whole of Ragged Island is solarized. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
400 kilowatts of solar power is there. Ragged Island ain't consuming 100 kilowatts. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's 400 for 100 kilowatts. That 400 kilowatts could have been used for Crooked Island, which is only consuming 280 to 290 kilowatts. You see what I'm saying? But they should have followed through and try and do this. But here they ordered more generators to burn more fuel 24 hours a day. We have to think. And another thing, what we have to look at is this. We can't let them trick. Hear what they said in Parliament? They can answer after the first of June. Now we know why. The engines reach. You know what I mean? They belong to Funky and them boys. You understand? I heard it before now from a couple of weeks ago that they're waiting for them to come in. So BPL could be I'm still getting energy from them next door to their power plant. Howard. God.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
We're right here with you. Well, I got to take this commercial break.
Who got to be paying these bills?
Let me take this commercial break, my brother. If you want to be able to hold on, you can do that. I want to thank you so very kindly. I like what you're saying. I like that you're shifting and we're talking about these things. I'm grateful for that. Quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen. Be right back after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
What can make you happy and angry at the same time? The Angry Whopper and new Angry Chicken Sandwich at Burger King Nassau. It's time to get angry and take on the flavor sensation of BK's signature flame grilled beef, spicy jalapenos, bacon, classic onion rings, cheese, fresh veggies, and all the fixings you love. Or try the new Angry Chicken with the same delicious spicy ingredients on a crispy chicken breast patty. Take your taste buds to the next level with the Angry Whopper and Angry Chicken today, only at Burger King Nassau.
Now let me see now. 326 EPIC. Hello? Hello? This Epic? Eckert Battery? This Miss Beulah from round the corner. I hear you're selling tires now on Wolf Road 2.
Praise the Lord. It's about time. I live Fox Hill and Fire Trail. It's too far.
That ain't all. They open Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. On Sunday and holiday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
My brother Sam, he's a hacker, and he could go right there and get fixed up.
Call us at 326-EPIC. We ship also to the Family Island.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation.
foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation, sitting here with Garth. Let's go straight to the phone lines. Caller on the line, go ahead.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, how you doing?
Howard.
Hi.
I'm a bit upset with you today.
All right, don't fight me.
I've been calling from quarter after 12.
Okay.
You know, the only two people got in was Anton. He got in twice.
Listen, can I say this to you?
I believe there's favoritism in you.
Please listen to me.
Giving out the number, listen, and you're not accepting it.
Please listen to me. I assure you, I want you to hear me.
You're not being fair, Howard. I have to tell you. See, you got to.
I appreciate you telling me, but it ain't me.
This your cousin who I tell you is your cousin from Upper Island.
And you is my cousin.
And I want to be fair to you.
Okay, listen.
But you're not being fair to your listeners.
Okay, but listen.
Because I want to have my input also. If it's an open line, if you don't want anybody to call, say don't call for the next hour.
I would say
don't have me calling, and I'm getting frustrated more and more.
You could say something. Hold on, let God say something.
What I wanted to say.
None of us know who are on the telephone.
Well,
all
man,
I say
that's why
telephone.
If you're going to talk long, don't give out the number. Tell people, don't call for the next half hour.
Okay.
That's what you do if you want to be decent about it.
No, see, but I only want you to let you
don't
go.
Fight
I,
me on this.
I can fight you. I can let
just
you go.
Just be decent.
I can
now,
let you slide.
Thing.
I can let you slide. Go ahead.
You've been talking politics all week.
My God.
I haven't heard anybody talk about the counterfeit money that is going around here in this country. And all of you are talking about you love the people. Central Bank, the police, the radio stations. Nobody said anything yet about the counterfeit $100 bills of Adriana that's going around.
What?
And I am Lucy. You ain't helping the people done by all this politics.
Mm-hmm.
The things we need to know, let everybody know there's counterfeit money going around out there. That's mm-hmm. how you start to help the people. Because
mm-hmm.
we wake in 24 hours and losing our money.
I like that. I hadn't heard anything about the counterfeit money just yet. I saw
yeah, there you go.
About.
I've already got stuck with 200 of them.
Serious?
So what do you do?
Are you in Harbor Island now? Or you?
No, I'm in. I live in Nassau.
I wasn't born
in Harbor Island.
Okay,
my father was born there.
So let me ask a question.
I'm the Roberts line.
What does a citizen do when they find out that they have counterfeit bills in their possession?
You got to speak a little bit more, Garth. You're not clear.
No, I said when you discover that you have counterfeit bills, someone gave them to you, what steps would you tell the bank people they should
give
make?
Them to the people in the bank. And they're supposed to give it to the police. And the police should be informing the public. Central banks should be informing the public. The banks should have said, so somebody should have said something to us poor people who are only paying taxes and not living anymore about the counterfeit money that's going around. These are the important things. Not what the FNM and PLP doing. They're going to do foolishness anyway. But try save us.
My God.
We
appreciate that.
We love your strength.
Yeah, love don't change the fact that the money is counterfeit going around.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I need to say that.
I can call someone. I have some persons.
Discuss
within.
That, man, instead of this politics all week. This money been going around a little while.
Your cousin says he's be frustrated with you, so he got to be able to say something.
I appreciate the telephone call, my brother. I appreciate it. Right? No, he can fight me today, but I still know who coming in.
You still love him?
Of course, but I don't know who coming in.
All right, then. Let's get the next caller. Let's see what they say.
That's what I'm saying. Don't fight me, right? Let's call on the line. Go ahead. Go ahead, caller. They there? Give me the next one then.
Pardon me, man.
Go ahead, caller.
Accidentally.
Caller.
Hey, Dad.
Hey.
And to Mr. Grant.
Yes,
listen,
sir.
Mr. Grant, I have one question for you, man.
Come here.
Please answer this question correctly, man. That song that they playing for Dwayne Sands, Dr. Sands. They singing about Dr. Dwayne Sands or are they singing about Sands Bell? Because neither one of them on power with that song. That's an awesome song, man. But, that song, I mean, boy, Dr. Dwayne Sands,
why are you so indecent today? You hear him say, get them songs? Why you? Listen, you put on your indecent pants, and then you put on your straps on top of it. This pants ain't coming off. You need to stop.
Listen to me, man. If it was for a song, boy, he went hands down. I can tell you. He went hands down. But I can tell you, that song ain't about him. Neither Sands Bell, because none of them are on the power.
My God.
All right?
buddy. But he.
I appreciate that phone call, my brother. Thank you so much for your call. Guys, please give me a call. 323-622-3232-54316-325-4259. Anywhere from the Family of Violence, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. The lines are wide open. Don't fight me. I don't know who coming in, and I only know what getting out. I don't know what coming in.
What they want to know, right? Because one caller said to me, Muff Roll, Muff said, God, what number Anton has used? That's a special number.
I don't
know. No, I know.
I don't know.
But maybe you got to ask Anton what number he used.
No, but you see me, how I answer the phone, next caller.
But everybody want that one number Anton has used. They want to talk to
Howard. Well, I must have got to put this on the producers, because it ain't Howard. I didn't say next caller. I don't even know. You see, okay, so when I was over on top of the hill,
yeah,
right, they used to screen the calls.
Uh-huh.
So I knew who was coming in.
Uh-huh.
So the name would pop up on the screen.
On top of the hill, the screen they call.
On top of the hill.
I know what the top of the hill mean. Yeah. They screen this.
They screen their calls.
Yeah.
What is your name?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so there's a screen that I could look at, and I could say, yes, hey, no. Shout out to Garth. Garth, what's happening with you? Boom. Yeah. And I knew who was coming.
Yeah.
I don't know. They don't have that set up here.
But we know Antoine voice.
So I say,
next caller. Everybody knows Antoine voice.
All I could do is say, next caller. So I don't know. There's no curry favor, no nothing. I don't know.
But Antoine does talk a lot of sense.
People just fight him because of his commitment to the PLP, but I believe that he's been neutral in his position talking about where we are. Let me take a next telephone call. Call on the line. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys? He's probably buying off his fingerprint by now, trying to... I'm getting on this show every day, every time. Right? And, you know, I mean, I guess he contributes. Sometimes he makes a lot of sense sometimes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, but he's still the F&M business. He, you know.
I know that was it far. Still the F&M business.
He's still the F&M business.
Please don't rock my boat. Don't rock my boat.
I want you to examine if the indication of both of those introductory, one for Pintad and one for Venice, you know, if you have been around the F&M, any amount of time, you know what time it is. You know what time it is. And I feel that on that Pentad side, I saw that last night. And I just flew that room. You know, we got some voters coming back in them.
Okay.
And the scary part is the ones that
you sort of... Listen. I listen to you, you know. You tell me how would you know what time it is, which I do. But I don't know whether or not you can bite the side of your mouth anymore. You know, just tell me what you said. Let me hear what you got to say. One time is it?
The F&M man. I have said it on, not just to take a side. The F&M, the days have gone when your ass to the ground. You could go on any platform and see how the Bahamian people feel. Oh, you can't, the days of being selfish of who I want in my party as leader. You gotta go with what the public saying what's happening, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The public telling you put the man back there, you can see what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
You better.
So what is the public sentiment? What's the public sentiment of Michael Pintard at this point?
The same sentiment it was with Brad Davis, the same sentiment it was with Minnis before he ran. We will keep switching, like I say, until someone get it right. You know,
if
they don't want Brad Davis in the next election, Pintard will be the prime minister in this country. And everybody coming out to vote in the next election, they want you to believe that.
I believe that. Yeah. No, I believe that.
Oh, people coming out.
No, I believe that. It have to be a disastrous something, and we hope that these things don't happen. Mm-hmm. But it has to be disastrous for, I believe there's going to be more than 85%. Now, listen, we can get...
When that much people come out, that's a change of government.
After June 2nd, we can get deeper into this.
We could be cranking up after June 6th. You can see them.
Cranking up at what?
Anytime.
Cranking up with people on the ground in these different constituencies.
Money spending?
Because they can now know.
The people will know if the money's spending.
Yeah, Davis.
No, if the money's spending.
And Pintad.
So the money can be spending.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
On the ground.
On the ground. Red? Know.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to say this to you.
You could have all the money you want.
What?
Everybody get one vote. Everybody got one vote.
I appreciate your telephone call, my brother. Right. Thank you so much for your telephone call. I'm going to say this to you, and I believe that this is the beginning of a next conversation that we still have to have, and we could pepper it in as we move closer to this time. But any time that we see a high voter turnout...
I know, it's a change.
Anytime we see a high voter turnout.
Change, I mean, this change is coming.
No, let's be very specific to what we're saying. Anytime there's a high voter turnout, it always favors the Free National Movement.
Yeah, it's a landslide situation too.
Okay. Now, whenever there's a low voter turnout based upon the base that we're seeing in the country, it always favors the PLP.
Let me tell you what happens, man. And I don't know why the Progressive Liberal Party continues to do the same thing. They get in and they get overly confident and overly comfortable, as if they have covered all the ground necessary, as if they had all the answers. They've already hired all the, in quote, right people for the positions. And then they find out that, you know what, you missed some serious people out there. Some people who can make some things happen. Some people who make things change. And I'm seeing now the growing popularity of the Free National Movement. Everywhere I go, people say, you know, I say FNM. And I look at them, man, I thought the fellow was a PLP. He's FNM now. People switching. And so my word to the Progressive Liberal Party is watch yourself, because these people are prepared to switch, like how you said those faithful Mennonites are now changing to Pintard. That's going to happen from the PLP to the
FNM. You know, I had a conversation about this. You know, I was baffled, and not the baffled that I told you. I said it, baffled. This is the word of the day. This is the word of the day. I was baffled to see that the amount of people that I would have never known politically.
Correct.
I would have never known these people politically.
I've seen.
If it wasn't for Menace, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would have never known them politically.
That's
right?
What I'm saying.
Uh-huh. And now they've served with Menace. They were loyal to being able to serve with Menace. And now you're seeing a lot of them being able to take on this very strong position on something that I've never seen before, endorsement night.
Yes.
Endorsement night, yes. Yes. For Michael Pintard. Yes. So just showing up to this space alone speaks with strength.
Like you say, that's
just
wild.
Just showing up to this space alone, right? Just showing up to, okay, so if they had asked me to come, I have to bring my cameras to capture it.
Yes.
Because if I come by myself, if I come with nothing else,
mm-hmm.
that means I'm a part of this endorsement.
Yes, you.
I just be very clear.
I got you.
Okay. If I show up to Dr. Menace's campaign launch and I tell him, I say, well, let me bring my camera. Let me bring my crew, right? Oh, well, Howard, we don't know whether or not we can be able to do this one, but we could do this. Okay, no problem. I can't go. I have to watch it on television.
Wow.
Because showing up alone is an indication that I endorse this thing. I want to sit in neutrality. I won't sit in neutrality.
Why not doing that?
Right? This telephone lines. Let me get the next
telephone
call.
They light up again?
Yeah. This light right up. Right? Call on the line. Go ahead, caller.
Phone look like a Christmas tree.
Go ahead, caller. Call on the line with the side. No? Next one?
They gone.
Call on the line with the side. Go ahead.
Wow. How would I like
one more. Call on the line with the side. Go ahead.
Hey, Howard, what's up?
Hey, what's up?
What's up, God?
Hey, my brother.
Hey, so, God, I heard you ask a question earlier. I wanted to touch it. I was calling for about half hour trying to tackle you on that one. You asked Howard a question. The question was, what did Michael Pintard
yes.
do when he
as
was...
As Minister of Agriculture?
Yes, yes.
As Minister of Agriculture.
Yeah, the great feat. What great feat did
okay,
he have?
Okay, so that seems to be a very credible question. So let me ask you a question, you. Saying that you're so well-rounded and knowledgeable of all this area, right? So let me ask you something. What did Brer Davis do when he was Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Works and Urban Development?
And that's the point I'm
before
making.
Before he became Prime Minister.
That's the point I'm making.
What
significance?
Let me tell you what the significance is for me, right? The significance is exactly what he did when he was that particular cabinet minister.
No, I want you to tell me. Tell me what it is.
I'm telling you.
Don't beat around the bush.
I beating up the bush and burning it down for you. This is exactly the point I'm making to you. Right now, the fella is a world-class traveler. I'm saying to you the same thing that we had yesterday.
No, but he does have a legacy when he stood over, I think he had a part of agriculture or something came in his portfolio.
Who?
The Prime Minister. When he stood in the position and Bamsey burned down.
Who?
In Angus. You forget
who?
It.
Who burned it down?
It happened. And they didn't have insurance. Do you forget these things?
No, I forget that.
Okay, that's what I'm saying to you. That is what I remember. That's the first thing that popped to my head.
Is that a great feat?
No. I'm saying it to you.
It's nothing of a legacy.
It's not a legacy.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. Let me Let me catch myself. Let me put my land legs back on y'all, man. Listen to me.
Yeah.
I'm saying to you, if you are non-functional, you're not great, you're not sparkling, you're not sensitizing. My friend.
Okay, so you said
but you can't
people are, you say the guys go in politics. When they go in politics, they go for one thing. So let me ask you a question.
Okay.
What do you do, God?
Me?
I
get on people's nerve. I like
okay,
that.
So wouldn't you aspire to be the number one person in getting on people's nerves?
No, I don't.
Any profession that you're in, you would always aspire to be the leader.
Listen, aspirations for me has to do with recognition coming from other people. Everyone who knows me, and I hope one day we could sit down and have lunch and talk or whatever, right? But everyone who knows me knows one thing about me, that today I can do masonry work and tomorrow I go fishing. The following day I'm doing beekeeping. And you say, you know what, why don't you just concentrate on one thing? It's because I don't owe the world one thing. I owe myself.
Okay,
God.
So that's God. You're one. That's
correct.
You.
So the money doesn't have power.
See, you spoke in a pluralistic way. You said politicians.
Okay.
With the mess.
Okay.
So
yes.
That's you. Yes. I get off of you now, and let's get to the gist of this.
Okay. Good.
All right. My question to you, and I want an answer for that.
Okay.
The current prime minister.
Yes.
When he was deputy prime minister, minister of works and urban development.
Yes.
What did he do? What did he accomplish in that role?
The record was not good. I
can't recall anything, sir.
Thank you. I can recall. I appreciate your telephone call, my brother. I can recall. But his record was not strong. His record did not actually bode about the fact that he can be this spectacular prime minister, so forth and so on. We could remember when he was in the House of Assembly being able to dodge a couple questions when some things were blotted out. We remember these things. We remember the fact that he had taken on this kind of a position to indicate that we needed to be able to have an independent assessment done of the former prime minister.
When he said that, we never could understand what he was saying.
You forgetting what happened. I'm simply saying to you that there are no ministers, right? Okay, let me be decent in his last few minutes.
I won't fight you.
No, no, I know you won't fight. I don't know why you won't fight today.
Howard, listen to what I'm saying to you. Let me do a nutshell. Give me this one little break. When I look at Howard Grant from the foundation, I look at the person of Howard Grant. When I look at the contributions that Howard Grant makes currently, he is not a politician. If Howard Grant goes into politics right now, even if he aspires, the word that you use, sir, and I appreciate your call, to be the prime minister, I could tell you of the great things that Howard, when he brings that to the table, could possibly do. Because Howard has exemplified that. Howard has produced that. Howard has lived what he has said. That's why I fight Howard so much, because I need Howard to understand that everyone is not as strong as Howard. What I'm saying to you is that if I'm a beekeeper, I do my job well. If I'm a plumber, I do my job well. If I do fishing, I do my job well. So if you said, Garth, do you think you can be a great prime minister? If I ever got in a position, I would do the job well. The difference about me, though, is this. I do not have to be the prime minister to have an excellent life. My life is so fun-filled. I'm so glad to be myself. If you don't give me a dollar bill, I promise you, tomorrow I'm still going to be a happy
that
man.
That
I am a different creature.
That separates me and you. If I get into politics.
You want money?
No, it ain't about money. Money is inevitable. It has to come. Once you do what you do, as you're doing it unto the Father, the money has to come.
Well, what differs you and me? Let me hear this.
What differs me and you is that you looking to be able to ensure that you can do the job well. I want to be the best that ever did this, that Jesus Christ said in life.
You know something?
I want to be the best.
Let me stop you.
I want everybody to know
that's
that
selfish.
I am the... No, that's not selfish.
That's selfish.
That's not selfish.
That's selfish.
That's legacy.
No.
That's legacy.
You know why? Because in you wanting to be the best, you're not concentrating on making everyone else around you better.
But the concept
Michael Jordan was the best, but he never worried about Scottie Pippen. Talk to me on BJ Armstrong. He never worried about them other people.
But why would
other people diminish while he himself became great? He killed the team, man.
But why would you have to worry about anyone?
You need to.
No. You create an environment to ensure that everyone under you could be able to flourish. You create an environment with this perceived
idea. Do that?
Right. Well, I don't know whether or not
Mr. Pintard, is he going
to
do that?
I don't know what Pintard is going to do. We have to wait
has
until he
shown
C.
Us that, has he shown us in the
we
past that he's done
anything? We have to wait until C. Allen calls the show to see
has
what Pintard's
done
going
that?
To do. right?
What about Christie?
None of this.
What about Sir Lyndon?
Sir Lyndon did it.
Did what?
He did it in his first dispensation.
What did he do?
Created an environment to ensure that all of his ministers understand their position and they can contribute.
And then
equally.
What happened?
That's the first time and the only time when he was the first among equals. That was the first and only time.
Right.
Then we saw the changing of the makeup of cabinet.
That's what I'm fighting you about. That's all. You can't just want to live to
be the
best.
Yeah, but the culture has nothing to do with
you
the
You know conviction. What being the best really is? When you are the chief servant.
I can tell you what the best has been in this dispensation. The best is when you're in North Abaco and you say that you are the prime minister of North Abaco. And then, boom, all hell break loose.
But look
yeah, but
that.
You don't make those kind of declarations. You have to understand where you are.
The fella could make that declaration and resurrect and come back.
I just simply saying to you, based upon the culture that exists, based upon a very clear understanding of where we are, we have the responsibility of being able to understand all the pieces on the table and understand your position. Do you want longevity or you want to be a flash in the pan?
So is he not the prime minister of Abaco?
No.
Every minister is not the prime minister of
the
constituency.
Don't say that. You can cause people to get fired. That is not how that works in this country.
You mean the ruler of that area?
No.
So what are you?
You're not. You are a servant like Ali.
Serving as a chauffeur and CM on their car.
No, those people who serve under the pleasure of the prime minister has different access simply because they need to be able to have
direct access. He's the prime minister of the country. Say, just give me Abaco. I'm the prime minister of this.
That don't work like that. Because Hubert Ingraham still lived there.
So he's still the prime minister.
Oh, you don't think so? Let me take a telephone call before we get out of here. Y'all can kill me. Telephone call, go ahead.
Yeah, Howard and Cobb.
Hey, how you doing?
You're going on break on me.
Oh my goodness! Sorry, but I'm a brother.
Yeah, but we got to keep this tight, man. This is about
set up a lunch with me, man. Let's go to lunch, man. Let's have a good talk.
This is about thank God and mm-hmm. Minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now Minutes, you know, me and Pintard grew up together. We graduated from AFI League with Miles Kelly Order at the same time, right?
Uh-huh.
Now with Minutes is the perfect man to replace Michael. Okay?
Who, Michael?
I can say it again.
Which Michael are you talking about? Pintard?
Huh?
You're talking about Ministers being the perfect man to replace Michael Pintard?
Ministers the perfect man to replace Michael. Right? And I can
Michael
say it a third time and get
Michael
it clear
Pintard.
This time.
Yeah.
Ministers is the perfect man to replace Dr. Michael Darvall.
Michael Darvall.
So I just wanted to be very clear with you. I just needed to understand.
I need to understand where he's coming from.
They will need his contributions because of his qualifications. So he could just sit tight and wait for the election to come. Now, God, like you say, fly and fill, right?
Mm-hmm.
If he would settle down, like I said, and follow through with some things, but he didn't because... Antoine, who knows all things and does know all the details about both parties and all the policies, and when you talk about don't try to claim his trophy about getting on people's nerves because he's the champion of that. Okay, Rob?
All right.
You see what I'm saying?
I appreciate the telephone call, my brother. I got to go. We are three minutes out, and I got to be able to talk about these things. I got a couple more calls to be able to get in. Let me get a call in. All right. It's a call? Caller?
Yes, how you doing?
I'm good.
Hey, call for me.
I call your name. He said, what is Pintard going to do? I said, the only time we know what Pintard going to do is when C. Allen gone. Call him, talk
you
to
know
him.
Why? You know why? Not because what happens is just because I live in the future, and I can tell you what's happening in the future in the present. See, but let me say this, Howard. You know what, do you know?
We love you, C. Allen. Go ahead.
If you go for a weigh-in, right,
uh-huh.
And you put a type of beating on the opponent, they normally disqualify you.
Oh, Moisey. See, Allen going deep. He going like
that. Ain't the battle. That was the weigh-in, right?
Touchdown.
So you believe that Minutes should be disqualified based upon this particular weigh-in?
No. The beating that Pintard put on him at that weigh-in was totally unnecessary.
That's heavy what you're saying.
But the proper thing for Minutes to do right now would be to simply... say that for the sake of unity in the party and everything else, that he would withdraw and let's unify the party.
You had something to do with that, C. Allen?
Woo!
Huh?
You had something to do with that? With this whole discussion of unification?
No, you know, I believe that Michael Pintard himself is unification of the country, not just the political party.
Wow.
He's called for from day one. And you ask what's going to happen. I want you to watch after the second
those individuals, those 5,000 people per year who never registered, once they be able to reach and understand the new Bahamas that's coming, watch how they will begin to become registered. So you go for the 200,000 people that is now and the 30,000 or whatever that is not registered. Watch how they evolve, because a message of reconciliation and a new Bahamas for the 21st century is the message that will be sent out.
I like
and
it.
So if I'm actively involved in it, we're going to have to appoint opposition.
But you then say you only can get involved after June 1st.
After June, yes.
You and Granville in the same shoes.
I just want you to know, hey, imagine, Howard. Uh-huh. If you think I'm not involved now...
Oh, we know you are.
Was coming on the,
we no, know you are.
You and Branville in the same shoes, my brother. I appreciate your telephone call. You, Branville, say after Michigan, I will join the FNM. C. Allen says after.
Yes.
Pintard wins.
Yes.
I mean, this is peculiar.
That's a behemian thing.
You can't scream for unification and tell me I wait to see. It's peculiar. Anyway, I'm not going to fight you, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow, guys. Check me out, thefoundation242.com, thefoundation242.com, the foundation on Facebook. I'm going to be screaming the thing live, screaming, right? Or streaming, right? We're going to be doing the thing live tomorrow at the FNM Mini Fair. We're going to be able to interview a great deal of people. Like I said to you, if I get an opportunity and I see Peter Turnquist, I'm going to press him on that. I'm going to press him on
yes,
it.
Yes, I think you
I got to press him on
I
it.
I think you're going to get him.
I got to press him
I
on it.
I think he'll be there. He'll be there.
Listen to me. You can't say these things. The whole country know your business. It's been rolled out. You came in the papers. You says you've been vindicated. Now, we've seen these things. Now, unless you want to be able to come and bring the cross with you and bring everything,
oh, you can bring
don't it. Say these things.
I guess he can bring it.
Let's probably. Be decent.
Let's find out tomorrow.
We can find out tomorrow, guys. Check me out. We're going to be live streaming for 6 hours from 12 o'clock to 6 o'clock. It's going to be on the FNM page. It's going to be on the on my page, the foundation. We're going to be here and inviting and talking to everyone. All right, guys, I thank you so very kindly. Ensure that you have a great weekend, guys. Check out my good guy, man, tomorrow morning before you go. Go down there to Garden of Eden over by my good friend Ephraim Jones and be able to get some good fish or some stew, whatever you got to do. It's going to be a good time, guys. We're going to see you on Monday. Godspeed right here on The Foundation.
Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. Foundation. The foundation. The foundation. 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 Foundation.